You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
It's your old pal Tom May. This is the inaugural episode of the Future Friday podcast. I've been a huge fan of podcasts for a long time, and playing in the Menzingers and touring the world for the better part of 10 years, I've met some really interesting and fascinating people. One of my favorite things to do is to sit down, pick their brain, or chat them up annoyingly and see if we can end up with a different worldview at the end. For now, the format is a loose conversation with some friends, along with some specific questions I'm asking everybody, and I'm going to cut them together at a later date for some special episodes. The music you're hearing is an original song by Pat Breyer, who makes music under the moniker Queen Jesus. It's fantastic. I'll put a link up to his music at futurefriday.net. My first ever guest is Augusta Koch, one of my dearest, oldest friends, a fantastic musician, the voice of Cayetana and Gladdy. You can check out futurefriday.net, and I'll have a link to her music there. Thank you so much for listening.
Here we are.
It's rolling. It's working.
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, thank you so much for doing this podcast with me. It's the
Thanks,
first one.
Tom.
I'm really excited.
This is fun.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So you said one of your hobbies is sleep?
That was a joke. But yeah, I do love to sleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it happens.
It's really funny to me how it kind of just came one day that all like memes and things like that, everybody just got so excited
like
about
rather be sleeping.
Yeah, rather be sleeping and all that kind of stuff. It is funny how just like every year incrementally it feels like sleep is just more and more rare and valuable.
It is.
Yeah, I love it.
I feel like getting a good night's sleep is really life changing when you're about to turn 30.
It's absolutely definitely true.
You can feel it now.
Yep. Every minute.
Yeah.
What's really funny about living in this house, where for those who can't see, we're in my kitchen right here in South
Philadelphia.
Kitchen
living room.
Yep, kitchen living room. One
That's
big
living room.
Room. Where we're sitting actually
nice
used to be a lemonade stand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I asked my neighbor. She said that this was a lemonade stand. Combined the houses 20 or 30 years ago. And next door underneath the corner store was a speakeasy where she had her first
Weird.
Beer.
I wish that was still open.
I know, that'd be great. Not
Maybe
that they
it
would
is.
Let us in there, but
I think they'd let us in. Are you like sleeper?
No.
I'm a heavy sleeper. I snore.
I snore when I drink a lot, but I think that kind of happens to...
To everyone.
To all of us, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, it's people snoring on tour, if you're all crammed into a hotel room, everybody kind of has a different way to deal with that. I don't know if you guys
have
that.
It drives me crazy if I'm asleep, then I don't hear it. But if I'm awake, I want to fucking...
Oh my God, yeah. You start
face.
Like coming up with reasons to resent the person,
yeah, like,
some way
why?
That they wronged you.
But then I do it too, but I don't know.
Truth, yeah.
That's the thing about snoring.
The worst part about the snoring to me is when it's not rhythmic. It's
yeah.
It's like sporadic snoring.
Or it's like someone who's really nasally.
Yeah.
And then it's like...
The worst. There's some people in our band that snored really bad, and we always
it's
used
Joe,
to just...
Joe, right?
It's Joe.
How did I know
and
that?
And Eric.
Yeah. Eric doesn't seem like a snorer.
No. Yeah, he doesn't look like... I don't know if a snorer has a look, but I don't think he has one.
I think of Bill from Captain We're Sinking.
Yeah.
The loudest snorer. He
just
because
he looks
walls.
Like he's like could sleep so deeply.
He does.
Yeah.
I've heard him snoring from like... A few doors down.
That's true. Yeah, usually Joe or Eric would wake up with a pile of shoes around them.
Because people are throwing shoes at them.
Yeah, because the
strategy... Because if you shake them, then you wake them up.
They might wake up all the way, but the strategy is to like anonymously shake them into a little bit less of a sleep so that you can try to fall asleep in the 2 minutes that it takes
yeah.
for them to get back into the snoring mode again.
I roll when I sleep. I rolled off my loft bed.
Oh, my God.
And got a concussion, I think.
That's horrible.
I hit my head on the metal stool that I get into my bed on and went to work, and everyone was like, I'm pretty sure you have a concussion. You should go home. Rolled right off because Matt was gone. So he's Damn. My barrier. So
he's your barrier. You put him on the edge as like the catcher in the loft kind
yeah.
of situation.
I rolled on top of Rachel Del Soro when she toured with us, and she couldn't get me off her. It was pretty funny. I felt really bad.
I used to sleepwalk really bad when I was a kid.
I remember, didn't you sleepwalk when you were in Australia and end up on a different floor?
I did. I ended up locked in my hotel room in my underwear, walking back and forth, banging on Joe and Toby's dorm or hotel room and then banging on the
one I was in. You weren't just drunk?
No. So that's the thing. I realized that as an adult, most of the times that I was sleepwalking, I was probably just really drunk.
Yeah.
But this time, no. I was just woke up in the hallway, kind of just walking.
I did that as a kid.
Yeah.
I would sleepwalk, and then I remember once I slept walked into or slept walk?
Sleepwalked?
Sleepwalked into the bathroom at my grandparents' house, and my mom found me eating chapstick. It was weird.
Yeah. Do you remember the dream that you're having while it was going on? Usually people are like, yeah, I was dreaming of this when that happened.
I didn't. I was also a bedwetter.
I was definitely a bedwetter later than
I was. I don't want to admit this, but I was definitely a late bedwetter. 15, I went to a sleepover 20. At this girl's house that was really mean, and I slept in the bunk bed and I peed on her.
Wow.
And
that's not a thing that you want young teenagers or prepubescent
kids
to know.
I was in like sixth grade.
Yeah, okay.
But she was pretty pissed.
Yeah, I'd imagine if somebody peed on me.
I was like, really no, pissed. I think it was just a cup of water. No, I peed on her.
Hell
she
yeah.
Sucked anyway, so.
Funny how you can remember those people that had, you know, such a minuscule amount of time in your life that really just affected you to this day.
It's traumatizing, though, when you pee on someone.
Yeah.
And then everyone knows. Don't care anymore.
Nope. Can you remember? Well, don't say her name, but can you remember?
Her name?
Yeah.
No.
See?
She it's doesn't gone. Matter.
You're just like, the, it's I remember more what of the association like. Of the memory or whatever, you know?
She had a log cabin. I remember that, which was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, honestly.
But
I wonder how hard it would be to just build a log cabin. If you like, so you have like, this house up at the Poconos where you guys built a beautiful studio in it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go record there. And I went there. You let me. You were very nice to let me go there. And I wrote one of my favorite songs that I've written in years there over that weekend. Mm-hmm. It was pretty awesome. But so it's secluded in the woods. It's kind of like a beautiful place. Like,
yeah,
it's really cool you guys created
that.
A lot
different since you've been there too.
I'd imagine.
But yeah, I feel like building a log cabin at this point, I could do it.
Yeah. You just chop down the wood, wait a couple years for it to dry.
Once you have all the tools to do anything, it makes creating a lot easier.
Yeah.
Like, I used to always have this theory, like, or have this feeling of being like, I have all the blueprints, essentially. Like, this is an analogy, but no, not the right tools. Especially when you grow up with just a mom. And we never, like, my mom had, like, six drills. But we would always lose, like, the power cord or, like, the bits. So she would just buy another one.
Yeah, totally.
Because it was just, like, two women, like, taking care of this big house. But now we have all the right tools. And now we're just building log lamps. We're installing windows, drywall.
It's, amazing.
It's also like YouTube, you know.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
That makes things
after.
A lot easier. Like, and I love learning anything from just like, well, I'm a visual learner. So like watching a video, I'm like, oh, I could do that. I could make a macrame now.
Right? Yeah, I can build a 10-foot tall stone pizza oven in my backyard.
No, but you can. Like the other, when Danny was there, I was like, I have this old drum set from when I played drums and Catholic school, and I was like, I can't use this, it's all rusted. I'm gonna make it into a fire pit.
Did you build a fire pit out of an old drum set? That's
well
awesome.
It looks terrible.
Okay.
And they
it's
were
made
like
out of wood.
Well, I poured cement into it.
Okay. Hell yeah.
I was like, man, I looked at Pinterest for like 20 minutes. I was like, I got this. So it doesn't always pan out, but I still feel like you can make whatever you want.
Yeah, that's awesome. I pictured the Pinterest version of that, having a bunch of Edison bulbs on a string kind of around it.
That's my jam.
Yeah.
But it is cool to have...
You know, Pinterest is, I think, one of the few, if not like the only major social media network that is predominantly women.
It makes sense because it's great.
Yeah.
And it's not stupid. I mean, I feel like I go through periods every month where I delete my social media because it's very toxic for me sometimes. But I never delete Pinterest because it's the greatest. And Reddit. Is great too.
Yeah, Reddit's fantastic.
But you can just learn anything. Like, I'll be like, oh, I want to like learn how to make a turmeric shot, you know, or got that. Learn how to make a drum set.
It's amazing.
A fire pit, you know?
I know on Pinterest you can make secret boards.
Oh, yeah. All my boards are secret because I have no friends.
Well, that's the one thing about Reddit and Pinterest to me is that it missing the social factor of the people in your life that you actually know.
Yeah, I don't have friends on Reddit either.
Yeah, me neither. I follow a couple people that I know.
No, I don't.
And since
do that.
My Reddit account is associated with our band because I did an AMA a long time ago.
So people can look
you
up. So
people will hit me up once in a
while.
Can't
they see what you read then?
No, I had to double check.
That would
they can't
suck
see what I'm subscribed to.
That's
yeah, that would be
like,
really bad.
You know, I was reading a subreddit about Westworld for like 12 hours. I wouldn't necessarily want people know that.
No.
Except right now I'm telling people, but yeah.
And I go to some of the weird ones for a while. I'm not sure. So
do you ever read the Are We Living in a Glitch?
Oh my God, Glitch in the Matrix?
Yeah.
Or ones like that. Yeah, I love that. There was a story on there about a couple that it was so convincing. I don't know how good the writer, you know, the writer obviously was amazing. But they said that they went to the movies. They were leaving the movies, and some guy, like a shady guy, walked up and asked them for a cigarette. Mm-hmm. And the guy said, no, I don't have one. And they got in a big fight, and then they stabbed the guy of the couple, and the girl like ran and everything.
Wait,
and
the cigarette guy stabbed the cigarette. Man.
The man who required a cigarette stabbed the dude who was like, no, I don't have one.
Yeah.
And then they went through like this quick, it was like a deja vu equivalent of then they kind of like experienced the same moment again. The dude asked for a cigarette, and the guy was like, yeah, I have one. And he gave it to him. Both him and his girlfriend were like looking at each other really weird and gave him the cigarette. And they both got in their car and they both just like started crying. We're like, what the fuck just happened? I don't know if we just experienced a slip of consciousness from another, you know, plane where that actually happened or whatever. But yeah,
I believe awesome. In that.
There's deja vu.
I've had
shit.
Deja vu in my life so many times where I don't know what it is, but I believe in it.
Yeah, I do too. I think that from a materialist standpoint, you could kind of write it off like, oh, no, it's definitely just, you know, certain chemicals or neurons firing off in your brain that make you experience it that way.
Yeah, that's how they describe it or, like, try and explain it as, like, it's a time lapse in your brain.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to check it out.
But I don't I have a fucking deja vu story, and I will never not believe it after that.
You want to share it?
Yeah.
Can you tell it to
me? I went to Paris when I was 16 or 17 with my school art class. And we had this really awesome chaperone who was like this hippie woman. She was super cool. So she just let us drink. And like, we left the Louvre to go to a nude beach. It was awesome.
That rules.
Anyway, we were walking down the street in Paris, had never been there before. And we were like making a left onto a little side street. And before we turned, I was like, oh my God, I have crazy deja vu. And her being like a hippie, she was like, what is it? Like, tap into it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, there's going to just be a huge red flower pot in the middle of the sidewalk. We turned, and there was a huge red flower pot in the middle of the sidewalk.
Wow.
And every, like, I don't know how many people, maybe it was just, like, three people were like, what the fuck? And it kind of gave me anxiety. I was just,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
really
how are you supposed to react
out.
To that?
And then there was this woman on the trip, and her family was Puerto Rican, and they had a whole theory that, like, when you're in the womb, you see your life play out. When you're in the womb, I don't know. I remember being like, this is real. Who am I?
You've lived this before or saw it and remembered it.
Or I was here. I don't know.
That's fucking intense.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. And I think that a lot of people try to write that off as, I mean, your memory really is incredibly unreliable. Like,
yeah.
You know, you try to remember. I was thinking about that if I was going to be a character in Law and Order, but in real life, I guess just a witness to a crime.
Okay, how do you like, remember hey, what you were doing last Tuesday?
Yeah, never fucking remember. Yeah. I think about that all the time. Somebody gets on the elevator and I don't look at their face, and then we ride the elevator for five floors and they get off. Would I be able to reliably identify that person?
No.
No fucking way.
Well, they've even proven that your memory changes based on your assumptions about it, you know?
One of my favorite experiments that they did, I don't even know if it was a TV show or whatever, but they went in, I remember seeing it, and somebody would order something from the clerk. At the counter, and then they would bend down, and then a different person would stand up, and the people wouldn't even notice. Sometimes they were like the different race, different.
I feel like that could happen to
gender.
Me every night when I'm
sure.
waitressing.
Come back to the table, they all completely
Nobody
switch.
Nobody has
you have no
any idea.
Idea.
Or someone will. I'll be waiting on a table for like 2 hours, and then someone will like talk to me outside of the table, and I'm like, "Who the fuck are you?" And then it's like, you know, me from the big table up there. Yeah,
totally. All that fleeting, get into
I
that
would never
mode.
Know.
I think that the way that we perceive memory, and when there's a lot of times where people have had, you know, premonitions or experiences, weird things, reading about, I've been reading about them in ghost story books and stuff like that for my entire life. You could write it off and say that there's no way that would happen, but I think that's so foolish, because to think that our understanding of consciousness and time and our abilities to measure the material universe are so not advanced to the point where they're going to be, that to make that assumption is just silly.
Well, it's kind of, you know, that whole thing where you're like driving in a car and you like look at someone if you're like stopped on the highway and they look at you. Like, we have these animal instincts that are real
and
premonitions, you know, maybe not premonitions, but like instincts are real.
Yeah, there's some kind of like thing like, that we can't quantify or measure yet that connects
how
that.
You change when you're become a mother. Like, you become more protect, like your instincts are heightened.
Yeah,
and that's a real thing.
Totally. Or like when your dog knows when you're coming home.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, like even the cat knows. I got a cat running around here somewhere. Before Beth Ann gets home, the cat will go to the door, like way before there's any type of sense that she's going to come home.
Course.
Like, if it's not the same time, but...
Or if you're like you know, this is also could just be a coincidence, but like you're thinking about someone and then they text you.
Yeah, oh, that one happens all the time. That's like, you know...
People
that's
don't
the,
text me that often, but
yeah.
Sometimes I'll be like... you know, with like one of my good friends, I'll be like, oh my God, I was literally thinking about you, which that's stupid, but I believe in it.
I don't think it's stupid. I think it's happened a million times. Well, how much different is texting than a form of telekinesis in itself? You know, like you can use your, I mean, you sure you got to use your hands. You can't use just your mind, but you send a message to somebody almost instantly without any type of direct form of communication. Sure, it's a network that's made of wireless signals and all kinds of metal and wires and electrons firing off. But, I mean, isn't that how your nervous system works? It's firing off electrons, and we kind of just build something
and
our
we
own.
Adjust to that, too, that technology. Like, even when you can see someone typing back, and then they stop, and then they start, like, it's kind of like your brain kind of, at least I interpret it in the way of being, like, hesitant of what you're going to say or they're thinking about it, you
know? Yeah, totally. It's like changing the way that we communicate with each other altogether. That is like exactly what you're saying. It's how it's become a new norm. It's like no...
Especially people, I think of people that grew up with that their whole lives. It must be like you read into it the way you read into body language when you're talking to someone.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. So all the kinds of different body language that we don't perceive consciously, like little things. I read this book by this called The Like Switch. It's by this ex-FBI agent. So fascinating. So many facets of it were so... interesting, and how to, I guess to a degree, manipulate people, but it wasn't like a manipulation for
great,
some
glad
kind
you
of like
read that.
not some kind of like hollow or like gain that you want to get for yourself, but just how to, I mean, the guy was an interrogator or whatever, but he went over some of the simple things that we do. Like when you walk up to somebody, you notice you might pop your eyebrows up real fast, like that. That's like an evolutionary symbol that we developed between each other to show that you're not a threat. So like when you're walking
I wonder
the street,
if that will change with the how much people communicate face to face.
Totally.
I feel like it will.
I think it will for sure. I think that you could probably show it in kids now. Like a kid, not to be, I think that everybody gets to our age starts being grumpy about technology and the change of social media. But I think a lot of kids, they'll text each other while they're in the same room instead of talking to each other, which who can I judge? Who am I the judge to say that that's right or wrong? You know, that's what the kid was given. But if they're not used to using the facial cues, are they going to go away, you know?
That's like, just the way it is, though.
Totally. I was thinking about that today. I went to the DMV, and I went with Dave, our sound guy. Engineer Dave is a UK citizen, but has a visa here, and he wanted to get a state ID. And he had the, in the British, you know, are famous for the way that they queue politely and deal with their bureaucracy and all that. And he gets up, and this lady's just like, what? And he's like, oh, okay. And he doesn't have something that he needs, and she's real mean to him.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really.
He's so nice,
he's
too.
He's one of the kindest people I've ever met. But I went there and I had to get my picture taken, and I thought in my head occurred that I realized that back in the day when you used to have to get your picture taken for your license or your picture taken at school or picture taken at a family function, things like that, you put a lot of thought into it and you weren't used to it. But kids now with cell phones and with all of your parents having a cell
they're
phone,
like, can I take a picture?
All day. Yeah, right? It's so funny. My nephews, if you say cheese, they just like come running from wherever and they're ready to go. You know?
Yeah. That's classic kid, though.
Yeah, totally.
Too. But, yeah, that is weird because people are so used to photos.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, there's more information, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot out there.
Totally. So, technology, huh? Cell phones, huh? What's that?
Hey, I like a cell phone.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's funny to have the Library of Alexandria in your pocket ready to go to look up anything that you want to. You know, like the bar
argument's
dead.
I feel like it makes us... I feel like there's some growing pains, but I feel like with time there'll be, you know, you're, like how we were talking before, your ability to make anything or like look up anything once you take the other stuff that isn't so good.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it's growing pains because I think that overwhelmingly it's a great thing. I think that the people collecting the data can do, you know, can manipulate us more than they already have. Think about the way that they've used commercials to manipulate us to buy things by making us feel bad and shit like that.
Yeah.
What they can do with the amount of information they have from your cell phone, fuck, like,
oh, so much.
You get us buying all kinds of shit.
It works. I mean, I buy stuff at 3 a.m. now.
Yeah, I'm definitely a sucker for it. I bought so much shit off of podcasts and Instagram ads.
Me too. I'll be like, oh, that looks interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, but at the same time, I feel like I was talking to someone about Amazon because I buy a lot of stuff from Amazon Prime because it's great. It's like getting a little present all the time. And I spend less money than I would if I just went to Target. And then I was like, oh, I spent $100 and I got a pair of socks and lotion I don't want.
Something. You're like looking at it later and like what did I get that day?
Yeah, just be like, this is what I need. And
totally.
You know.
My problem with it, not problem with it, like solution and problem with shopping out for stuff on Amazon is the rabid search for the absolute best thing of what you're getting.
Oh, yeah. But so then you realize that all of those.
Stars, all that shit.
But all of those reviews, a lot of those reviews are fake.
Oh, totally.
Like, I know someone who writes reviews for Yelp and Amazon.
Yeah,
and they
sure.
just make a million accounts and...
And just do that.
Yeah, but I mean, it is true. I'm like, oh, how can I get... I had to order lights for that stop motion video I've been making.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm just going to order all this for $30 and it'll be here tomorrow. So I'm like, where am I going to get that stuff right now? I need it right now.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool.
Yeah, one thing what's cool about living where we live, as far as Amazon Prime goes... is that I've definitely ordered stuff in the morning and it gets here at like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Somebody literally flies up outside in a white nondescript van that's like all dinged up, gets out, has an Amazon pass on, bangs on my door, throws the thing in the screen door and just walks away.
That's us too. It's nice because they can just open the little screen and throw it in there so you're not worried about it getting
so awesome.
Or whatever.
How do you think the guy, right before we started doing this, a guy, we were outside and a guy pulled up. Oh, they're gone? They changed the tire? Nice.
Well, I saw them putting, like, using the jack.
Yeah.
They probably put their donut on.
Really nice, brand new Mercedes. Yeah. One guy was filming the other. Did you notice that one guy was on the sidewalk filming the guy?
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody was on the corner filming
the dude.
They're
probably making their own little YouTube video
or something. Infinite content, yeah, probably. Yeah. But he flew up onto the curb, and he immediately smashed his tire, and it started hissing everywhere.
It was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, it was
really
funny.
I was trying not to laugh.
Definitely.
Because he was like, oh.
I was like, hey, do I, like, you know, how do I make him feel better about the situation?
And you were just like, well, at least you're in a parking spot. I mean, that's true, though.
Yeah, totally.
It's fucking wild. Not like he bent the rim or anything.
No, it's good. So what do you got coming up?
In life.
In life. Well, yeah.
I'm aging. just playing some shows this week. I'm trying to write a record this summer.
Hell yeah.
Making some little stop motion videos.
Yeah, you sent me what you've been making, and it's pretty
awesome. I just made one for Thin Lips' new record.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I had to do it in like a week. And I was just like, oh, sure, I'll do this. But then I was like, shit, it takes like 17 hours. Luckily, I have a lot of time. And then I ended up doing it in 2 days. So I was like, all right. But yeah, that's been fun. It's been nice to make some different kinds of art.
Ever since I've known you, you're one of my oldest friends. For sure, you're my first friends ever when I moved to Philadelphia.
You were one of my only friends.
I'll take that.
That's true.
And you've always been really into art.
Yeah.
You've been extreme, one of the most colorful people that I know.
I do like colors.
You do, very much so. Yeah. And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've always been really into art and making crafts and stuff like that. And I always found it interesting that you got into music and were so good at it. Not that not surprised
when
you were so
old.
Good at it. Yeah, when you were a little bit older, you got into it later then. Was there something that kind of spiked or ticked off in your brain or something that you realized maybe socially or whatever that just was like, fuck it, I'm going to do this?
I think, you know, I have been reflecting about that time in my life for a while recently, and I was like, I do like starting a lot of projects. I have some serious ADD. And I like making things. I like the idea of making something out of nothing, which is great when you grow up poor. But I think I had lacked the self-confidence of being able to do that for a long time. And I feel like if I hadn't been in that particular situation with meeting Kelly and Allegra, I might have not done that. Maybe now that, you know, I feel like socially things have changed, I would have started in a different way. But I think... like being comfortable with yourself is really hard. And
absolutely.
Especially, I'm definitely afraid of failure. You know, like I like to always set the bar low. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I love doing arts and crafts. I'm not really particularly good at any of them. But you know what I mean? Like, I like just trying a lot of things because it eases my brain. But I think I've always been like a quiet observer when it comes to music. Like, music saved my life, still does. I would watch it. I've gone to a million fucking shows, been supportive of so many friends, and then watching it and seeing how people interacted, I was like, I think I could do this. Yeah. I think when you observe something for a long time, it's like a form of studying it. And
totally.
And even if like just listening to music for so long and being like a big fan, you're learning.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't listen to something over and over again and not pick up things.
No, totally.
Like, I feel like everyone who loves music probably has an idea of like melody and rhythm, even if they don't think they do.
Yeah, everybody tells me that they're tone deaf or that they
but
can't.
They don't. Like if you have a music, especially
something.
If you have a distinct musical taste or you're listening to various kinds of music, but you know what you like, you're better than you think you are.
Totally.
Which is something I didn't know until later. Where like, as far as my skill sets musically, like we were saying before, I don't feel like a strong guitar player, which is the instrument I usually write songs with, but I love writing lyrics and I love melody because that's what I've always liked from listening to music.
Yeah.
That's like, for some people, it's like, I love the music behind it.
Yeah.
And I love that too. But for, I mostly would listen to music for what they were trying to say.
Sure.
And that's where I found the biggest change in music.
You know, the thing that you chase after, at least for me as a songwriter, is to try to get the music to complement the things that you're saying or the message behind
yeah.
it. And you could get into areas where you're, you know, I listen to a lot of music that isn't in English and I don't understand it, but you can
feel it. Yeah, you can, I feel like curating a vibe or a sense is really cool. And recently I've been like thinking a lot about what I want from this new project. And I really like the idea, my whole idea for this new record is to have music that's sonically happy sounding and lyrics that are not.
Just contrast them.
Because I like, but you could still feel it. Like like you were saying, like if you listen to music from that has a different language, I still think even if the music's happy, you'd still be able to pick up the vibe if you're doing it right.
Totally. Isn't what you describe kind of like catharsis itself a little bit? Like
yeah.
The music sounds really good, but the lyrics are really sad. And you kind of can use that to as a vehicle to... you know, what makes you feel good when you hear a sad song? You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like something about experiencing that depth of emotion, and that type of emotion in a way allows you to let that emotion go. You
yeah,
can kind of get rid of the part that the suffering itself.
Yeah, I think that's what draws people to music, because it's one of the only, it might be the most, at least for me and people like us, I would assume, the most relatable form of art, because you can just hear it. You don't have to do the, like, you know, where people find a lot of, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but like if you're into like fine art, it
yeah.
takes a lot of work to appreciate that.
Totally. To me, especially,
for some people.
Not to be too cynical, but to me it seems like that's a lot of like has a lot of gatekeepers around.
Oh
it,
yeah,
you
and
know?
It has like, a lot of money to do. Like
yeah, there's a lot of money. There's like you go take a fine art class. You're, you know, not to. First of all, it's only the winners that survived. You know, so the art that we see and that we respect is all kind of like through the looking glass of
when
the institutions.
Usually and, died poor and no one cared about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, true.
They're alive.
But it's all like the academic institutions and the
yeah that just decide this person is
totally.
Worthy.
Which there's something to that. That's like, you know, the representative of the culture and of
yeah.
Of the world. But
music you
like
can make free.
There.
You know, and
totally.
It's for anybody. Like anybody can, especially now with the internet. Like.
Anybody
you know.
Can hum, you know, like,
and you can listen to it if you don't have any money,
yeah.
you know, like it's accessible for people. It's not like you have to go to a museum to see it
no.
Or experience it in person. You can, you know, in our situation, go to a, there's always shows.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are cheap and a lot of them you can get into if you don't have money.
Totally.
Which is nice.
And that was one of the things, I mean, those, we could talk about the music stuff for hours,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the thing of going to shows and meeting people, that's how you just kind of build a social group. That's how, you know, the entire thing is centered around the music and the experience, and there's something that is inherently good to that. There's people who meet up who have shared interests in baseball and playing, like, board games and shit, and that's all great, too. You know, that's, like, cool, but part of me is cocky enough to think that when you have, when the entire thing's centered around the creation of something to try to reflect a shared experience. It's like something
yeah,
that's almost religious about it.
Oh, totally. I remember seeing, like watching a bunch of people watching the Hold Steady. And I remember it being like one of my greatest moments experiencing music in the past few years. Cause I wasn't even really watching them play, but I was watching how happy everyone was. And like, it felt like you were at church. Like I grew
yeah.
up going to Catholic school and hating church, but like seeing people that enjoyed it and took things from it. And
oh,
I was like,
totally.
When people are bonding over like their deepest emotions or something
yeah.
so cool about that. Cause it's not really something that's celebrated.
Yeah.
You know,
totally. I think you could scoff a little bit at it and it's like a goofy, but it's kind of fun to think about the total parallels to traveling preachers, at least from like novels back in the day
oh,
and
yeah,
what you'd see in the
musicians.
South and musicians. Like we go to a place and we play in a small, dark room that has a bunch of lights that you have a sensory experience. It's so loud, and there's so many weird lights and shit going on. You have a sensory experience that you just normally wouldn't have anywhere else in life. Everybody does a bunch of drugs. Or like, you get real drunk or whatever for most people. And that's kind of like, you know, the whole shamanistic kind of part of it, maybe a little bit. And then everybody mm-hmm. behaves in a way that is completely acceptable everywhere else in the world by, like, screaming and singing along and hugging strangers and shit like that. And that's totally just like an elated experience.
And there's like ego involved.
And money, you know, you're asking somebody to buy a t-shirt.
I mean, it could go either way. It could be really pure or it could be really evil.
Totally. Or just a weird combination of both of them, which is, I think, of what life is.
It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the few really special things still.
Oh, yeah. It's so fun. Every time we don't play a show for a long time and I could get jaded and... not resentful, but just be like, yeah, whatever, fucking, you know, I'm living my dream, is great, but I'm going to go on this tour and do this show thing. How much is this immature? I'm 30 years old. Then you play a show and you realize, no, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, especially in the way that we're set up to think, like, it's inappropriate to still be doing this, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like when you're in a position where it's like you guys tour all the time and it's, you know, you have it set up where it's a, you know, your career at this point.
Yeah,
and lately I've been thinking with like starting over now. It is.
Yeah, you want to say let's keep it riding.
Being like, should I still be working at this? And it's like, well, am I gonna be happy working in an office? No, like that's not the type of person I am. I'd rather be fulfilled and do what I feel like I should do than listen to anybody else other than myself.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way to live, and I hope that we can inspire other people to live that way, too.
I feel like people are getting loosey-goosey, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
Hell yeah. So how can anybody find you online and stuff?
You know, Google.
Google? Just Google? Gusta Koch?
Yeah, I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't even know what my socials are.
So this is the first one that we're doing of this, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I will put some links, whatever you want me to throw up on the website.
Yeah, you can link me.
I'll link you.
Cool.
Link you. Do you have a LinkedIn?
I don't because I'm not professional.
Exactly. But I get really funny emails all the time from people that I've... No. Yeah. I'm writing it off as if it's something that just seems... It represents to me
that whole...
Don't
you have to be like working in a business career?
I would imagine.
Like it has... It's like a professional...
Yeah.
Should I make one for being a waitress?
Yeah. Just give a really technical name to the...
One burger, please.
Yep. It's just really funny to get emails from people that you haven't talked to in like 10 or 15 years, or people that you met on tour that were like a little bit too professional, that were just, you know, were like had a merch gig or TM gig or something, and they were like, took it really seriously, and you get an email from them 10 years later that want to be your friend on LinkedIn. I always think that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah. I want to see what it looks like.
That's true.
It's like the dark web for me.
Yeah, it is kind of like the dark web.
What's the interface like? Is it really cool?
Is it like
Are
Facebook?
There memes?
I don't know, but everybody has like really professional jobs. You ever notice how they get real like uptight about what they can do at work and wear and share and stuff?
Or like, what they can post.
Yeah. Like you can't post because, you know, it could be misconstrued as controversial or inappropriate behavior.
Or like, what if I couldn't have crazy hair? Fuck,
can you imagine that?
Yeah.
What if I had to wear a long sleeve shirt and I couldn't show tattoos? That'd be...
I feel like you could wear a long sleeve shirt.
I could, but it'd be weird to have to.
Yeah, it'd be really weird to be like, well, this is what I have to hide myself.
But for the reason that, I have to hide it because it might make someone feel uncomfortable. Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, you know, whatever.
It sucks.
I'm
not, make money.
Not judging anybody who wears a long sleeve shirt to work to cover their tattoos. You probably have
My sister
job.
Does.
Yeah.
She has a lot of sweaters.
Your sister's great.
I know, and it sucks because she lives in Richmond, so it's hot.
Yeah.
It's probably really hot all the time.
That'd really suck.
She has that Jumanji sleeve, though, so... She can't really show that.
Hell yeah. Somebody told me the new Jumanji is really good.
I heard it was terrible, but I want to watch it.
Andy Clark told me it was good.
I believe him.
Yeah. I'd watch it on an airplane or something.
Yeah, I would watch it if I was trying to go to bed.
Totally. That's it. Yep.
Then I'd just fall asleep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being
here.
Thank you. I really appreciate
it. Should we shake hands or something?
I don't know. What do you do at the end of it?
Bow?
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.
Hi, I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are The Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.